The UN says the U.S. owes African Americans reparations. That's the headline of a task force report this week, laying out America's history, from slavery to oppressive Jim Crow laws to the redlining in the 50s and 60s that kept blacks from investing in homes and businesses and passing them on, to black kids getting arrested in school for what white kids would get scolded for. The report says to understand problems like excessive police force today, you have to talk about that history. Ricardo Sunga chairs the UN Working Group, which authored the report. He's in Geneva by Skype. Ricardo, welcome.
Well, I'm very happy to be here to discuss these matters with you.
Yeah, thank you. And just how did this all come about? We know that this was at the invitation of the United States. African Americans across the country spoke with you. But what about United States headlines or news told you that there was something to explore here?
Well, the United States is not an exception to racial discrimination. We're just very happy that the United States issued that official invitation. Because for us to carry out a country visit, it is a requirement that the country first invite us officially. And when we received the invitation, we were very glad that the country mission last January pushed through.
Well, so you were invited by the U.S. You spent 10 days in Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, Jackson, Mississippi, Chicago, Illinois, New York City. Look, we know police shootings of African-American men have been in the headlines. What did you hear from African-Americans that you spoke with?
The procedure we went through, the process, was one in which we heard testimonies from civil society organizations, from victims, from family members of those who were the subject of violence. And we are very saddened by what we heard, the testimonies about police violence and killings, and about the problem of impunity, about those responsible not being held to account. And we see the need for these killings certainly to be addressed. And part of that is looking at what happened beforehand, because only then can we better understand what the cause are now, the cause for reparatory justice, the calls for greater compliance with international standards, for example, with the UN basic principles on the use of force and firearms by law enforcement officials. And in light of recent developments, also the need for the state to ensure that the authorities protect the rights of protesters for freedom of assembly and association.
Look, you heard from people about profiling, about excessive control, and reports from the Department of Justice on the Ferguson Police Department, that was in 2015, confirmed those practices. There was a report from the Police Accountability Task Force in Chicago. It concluded that racism was one of the main factors that explained, you know, arrests without justification, detentions without legal counsel. In 2014, the city of New York withdrew its appeal of a case questioning stop and frisk. Stop and frisk acknowledged as something that was disproportionately used against African Americans. So there has been reaction in the United States to some of the things that you heard.
Yes, there is a reaction. But we urge that there be a continuing constructive dialogue. And they must go to the extent of exploring further this subject of reparatory justice, because everything is interconnected. There are civil and political rights issues. There are economic, social, and cultural rights issues in education, issues in housing, issues in food. There's a need for a public acknowledgement of past historical injustices. There's a need, thus, for a conversation on reparatory justice.
Well, let's talk more about that. Reparations, reparatory justice. In South Africa, it was peace and reconciliation. It was people able to address each other. But the lot of what you're talking about is in the very far past. How do you see reparatory justice working in the United States?
It must not be understood in a narrow sense. Reparations, as it relates to justice, is not limited to compensation. Rather, it covers also restitution and satisfaction. Restitution means making right what was wrong. And satisfaction, that includes public acknowledgement, formal apology, guarantees of non-repetition. There is no one particular formula for it. It's certainly something that should not be placed under a cover. There can be no doing so forever. It's essential to ease the racial tensions now that there be a discussion on reparations, on reparatory justice.
Ricardo Sunga, he chaired the UN report on racial violence in the U.S. It concluded Americans should go back to slavery to understand today's tensions. But it also points out not all American textbooks even teach slavery. Let's bring in Noliwe Rooks, professor of Africana Studies and interim department chair at Cornell. Noliwe, what was your reaction to this report?
Well, you know, I think that it is amazing to have a world body actually make the argument that we hear most often in social media, quite frankly. The dots that that report connects, young people have been connecting on Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook for some time. I would also have to point out that it is something a little unsettling that it comes from a body that the United States government does not, in fact, have to pay much attention to. When we get to the conversation about, but what next? How do we have redress? How do we have healing? How do we move forward? I don't think we know how to do that.
We'll talk about that, because Ricardo Sunga talked about reparations, but he told us not necessarily financial. He said that's up to the United States, but definitely repairs. Mm-hmm. And also, there would be some financial repair in his mind. For instance, the forgiving of debts, in the criminalization of poverty, which the Justice Report showed in Ferguson, blacks disproportionately arrested and then jailed because they couldn't pay the fees that went with the arrest, and it was more about raising revenue than security. Do you think, mm-hmm. for instance, those debts should be forgiven?
Well, here's the thing I always say about that report. Again, that report was a great day for social justice activists. It really confirmed what people on the ground in Ferguson and in areas surrounding it had been saying. The folks that are in Ferguson now do consistently want to point out that while they negotiated a relationship with Ferguson so that they've begun to dismantle some of the toxic policing and the collecting of fees, all of the communities bordering Ferguson have the exact same system in place. And because they were not specifically under investigation by the Justice Department, they have not, in fact, stopped themselves. So I do think that just saying basic things like, this is illegal. That just doesn't seem like that large a reach to me. And yet we have not seen that.
Well, what about the larger picture? I should ask you. Full reparations for descendants mm-hmm. of African slaves. Mm-hmm. Is that workable?
There's so many facets to it. Some of the facets are, as you pointed out in the report, people saying, so increase home ownership for African Americans, because that's a direct result of some of the policies that came out of different points in American
sure.
history.
Redlining and African Americans are unable to get loans, unable
yes.
to buy homes.
Yes. Or unequal school systems that disproportionately negatively impact poor people of color. So people said, well, why don't we equalize those school systems? That would be a form of reparations. There's some people who say have free health care because of the stresses of poverty and racism that are pretty well documented, but there's hasn't yet been any specific claim and or policy that we have seen people coalesce around. In the Caribbean, we have the Caribbean countries who have come together and are have approached Britain about some form of reparations and have been pretty well rebuffed. So we do not yet have a global conversation about what that would look like. And I think in some ways that's where it really does have to start.
Well, as you say, it could start there, but it might stall there for a while. What
yes.
about little things? And it's not a little thing. If, for instance, you're an African-American child in South Carolina, mm-hmm. There's a misdemeanor law in which school disturbance constitutes a misdemeanor in South Carolina. There are police officers, and this is part of the mm-hmm. you know, school-to-prison pipeline. The UN group suggests that all misdemeanor laws affecting school children be repealed.
Yeah, there's all manner of remedies that the report points to, very specific cases given the places that they went. The issue is that those changes would have to be made community by community, state by state, almost like the Ferguson example. Mm-hmm. Pointing out what happened in Ferguson did not impact any of the cities touching it. The same would be true in South Carolina or in Mississippi or in any of the cities where they offer specific examples of why we need change.
Yeah.
You would have to get people on the ground to believe that change was necessary. It's not, for the most part, it's not a federal issue. For the most part, those are not things
yeah.
right now that the federal government could come in and say we want change.
Well, the one thing the federal government could do, and we'll leave you with this, what about a formal presidential apology, or maybe congressional apology. Has there ever been a formal apology for slavery?
No, and, Representative John Conyers has been trying for decades to at least get a conversation that may lead to an apology, like some sort of federal acknowledgement that we at the very least need to talk about. There was a wrong done. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know where it starts. I don't know who in the government feels strongly about it. We have members of the international community at the UN who feel strongly about this. It remains to be seen in our own government, in our own backyard, where that same kind of passion lies.
That's Noliwe Rooks, professor and interim department chair of Africana Studies at Cornell University. Noliwe, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And the UN report, by the way, also noted the number of attacks on black transgender women, the lack of good food in poor black neighborhoods. You can read the whole report at hereandnow.org, where your thoughts on repairing reparations are welcome.